Bobby Rivers, alone in a world that doesn't want him. We can rebuild him, make him better than he was before. Better, stronger, blacker. Mocha.
New music and toxic masculinity. That's what we're going to be talking about on this podcast, which is called Mocha. How you doing, people? I'm glad you are back for more Mocha in the mix. Mocha stands for man of a certain hue and age. That is it. We are 50, 50 plus and fabulous, and we are taking our experience as old, as not older, let's say mature men.
I like seasoned, Bobby. I'm seasoned.
Seasoned.
With yes. Seasoned, darling.
And in our case, we are blackened and seasoned. We are a couple of real dishes.
We're like Cajun spice already or something.
You got it, babe.
Bobby!
Oh, I'm here with my friend and producer, Keith Price.
Hello, hello, hello.
We are here to talk about film, TV, music, movies. Oh, I already said film. Broadway. And when it comes to talking about Broadway, you know, Keith, I love it when you plug your podcast.
Oh.
You are so fabulous.
Oh, thank you.
Wonderful. So smart at interviewing people of Broadway, off-Broadway, theater in general. And where can they hear your podcast with the theater world?
With the theater world. They can go to BroadwayWorld.com and see me on the featured podcast list. That's Keith Price's Curtain Call. And, of course, available on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and an occasional, you know, wet bar. Hi.
That is it. And you have really got to hear Keith KP Curtain Call, his theater podcast. It's wonderful. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful.
Oh, thanks, Babla.
I'm so proud that you're there. And I'm going to repeat one of the reasons why we do this is because Keith and I grew up, we watched TV news programs, network and local, where people got on and did film reviews, they did theater reviews, and we never saw people of color doing those reviews. And it was like, wait a minute, why are we cut out of the fine arts discussion? There needs to be diversity in the fine arts. There needs to be diversity in the fine arts discussion. So that's why we put Mocha in your mix.
Are you? See, I was thinking too, I'm like, you know, the only other time that might have been somebody of color that we didn't know was someone of color is if they had done a Carol Channing on us.
You go,
find out late in her life, oh, she's a black woman? What? That's how they got by.
That's how they got by. You're black?
What?
You're black and you don't know when you had corn? Oh, corn.
Where oh, my God.
Okay.
You're best.
I tried to bond with modern music today.
Uh-huh.
Just a side note. I was trying to listen to a new cut from Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And you know, when she first started, I thought, okay, she's perky. She's a nice pop princess. But you know what? Now her stuff wears me out because now I'm like looking at clips of her stuff and I'm trying to figure out, okay, who's she referring to? What a boyfriend is it? Every new Taylor Swift song is like the Da Vinci Code.
Well,
I ain't got time for that.
Well, but you see what though? Because she has weaved that magic that has got us enthralled. We know that every time she has a song, it's going to be something that's going to be about some part of her life.
Oh,
so if we already know what that part of the life is, then the whole thing is even more fabulous because now you do. But that is exhausting. That's the reason why I think at some point we don't need to know so much about all of these people so that we can just enjoy their art.
Right. It's just too much. Go old school. Be like Cyndi Lauper. Just saying girls just want to have fun and we can dance.
And we can dance. Cyndi Lauper, fabulous. Another one. She's fab.
Oh, there's another one. We love her. Oh, listen, did I tell you, we got a very nice message on Twitter from writer Joe Lansdale.
Oh,
now,
what did he
Joe
say?
Joe Lansdale, for you people who haven't heard of him, he is a novelist and he brought to television characters that he created in print. There's a show called Hap and Leonard. It's on the Sundance Channel. I love this show. It is different. It is fresh. It has given us diverse characters. Now, Hap and Leonard take us back to the 1980s, and they have been best friends ever since they were boys. And you see when they became best friends.
Right.
In the 80s, they're grown. And what makes this show so different is that it's a straight and gay male friendship.
Exactly.
And we rarely get that on TV.
We don't usually get that at all, to be very honest.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, we got it on a... There was a sitcom called Happy Endings, and...
Yes. A couple of seasons ago. Yeah, on ABC, right?
Yeah. And the way that was promoted as, like, Friends, only with black people. And... And the character, Max was like a bear.
Uh-huh.
Only, you know, he didn't want to give you his real age, so he said, I'm more of a cub. But Max was a refreshing character because, oh my God, he's gay, he's no slave to fashion, and he eats carbs. I dig Max.
So he's like the rest of us.
He was like the rest of us. And he preferred watching football to Sex in the City marathons.
Wow.
So... And he had, and his best friend was a straight guy on that sitcom Happy Endings.
Right.
Hap and Leonard is more of a drama, and Hap, the white guy, the actor's name is James Purefoy, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
He was a pacifist, so he did not serve in Vietnam. His black friend served in Vietnam. He's a Vietnam veteran. He is badass. You do not want to mess with him.
No.
And they have got each other's backs. And the gay character is played by actor Michael Kenneth Williams. And Keith and I were having coffee once, and I mentioned to him, you know, he is somebody who should be getting a special badge of merit or an award from GLAAD because he was on The Wire, which was really popular.
Right.
He played a gay character on The Wire, and he was really tough as Omar. Omar was like a drug lord. And he's playing a gay character on Hap and Leonard, a character created by Joe Lansdale. And he played a real-life gay character in When We Rise. And that was a mini-series on ABC about the rise of the LGBT movement from, like, Stonewall through the AIDS crisis. So, back in movie history, if you go back to when actors like William Hurt and Tom Hanks won Oscars for playing openly gay characters... White Hollywood actors were still timid about playing openly gay characters. And I think that started to change after Hanks especially won his Oscar.
Of course.
But black actors were still, you know. You know, there's
We had that one moment with Ving Rhames playing somebody gay, but that was very special.
Right. Very, very, very special. Then, right, Will Smith... Okay, he can be gay, I'm not doing a kiss. You have to put in special effects.
Oh, don't even bring that.
That was
like up.
6 degrees of separation.
Right. But how right. fascinating, though, to have this Michael K. Williams, like, not only do not one, but three.
Three. He's playing
roles.
Three openly gay characters. So I thought, you know, glad give him an award and give one to Joe Lansdale for creating these characters and putting them on Sundance Channel. And it's been renewed for a third season. It's a good series.
Well, I just finished season two. I downloaded it as a gift to myself on iTunes. And again, they are, you know, shout out to the storytelling, shout out to these actors, shout out to Sundance, because I was enthralled. I literally had to watch all the episodes in a row. I couldn't not walk away. I totally binged it because it's so good.
Yeah, I'm there too.
It's so good. And I think really the thing that I love the most about it is that it's not hokey.
It is not at all.
It's believable. It's all so believable. So
if you haven't seen it, the first season has Christina Hendricks, who was the very busty redhead on Mad Men.
Yes, Joan.
And here, it's sort of like country noir.
Right.
Because she's playing like a femme fatale from like 1940s film noir.
Right.
Like a Barbara Stanwyck type character.
Yes.
And she rocked it.
She did. She was fabulous.
She really was, where you go, oh man, this is another side. You're not wearing shapely dresses, well, you know, because you're really down there in the country.
Right.
But man, you can just act your patootie off.
I think that's the best part about it. You know, and she's also a singer Broadway kind of girl, too, because there is a wonderful edition that they did of Company at the Hollywood Bowl that has, like, Patti LuPone and all, NPH, Neil Patrick Harris is in it. And she's in that production as well. So you can drive a person crazy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Go back and look for that one.
I have got to look.
Yeah, and very, very... No, Stephen Colbert is in that Company. That's what, he plays one of the couples. He's part of the men couples, yes.
Yeah, what a show that is.
That's a fantastic show. But again, you know, here you are, though, having this kind of show with this kind of reach and this kind of diversity within it, and, you know, not getting a stitch of recognition from anybody. And, like, luckily, had you not told me about the show, I would have never found it. Now that I found it, I'm, like, trying to tell everybody, y'all need to see this show.
You really do.
This show is fabulous.
Because what happens is if gay columnists or reporters are going to complain about the lack of gay images, then they need to pay attention to the different ones that are presented on TV and radio.
And see, I think part of that is because the images that they're looking for are the ones that they want them to be completely similar to who they are. And I mean, we're guilty of it at the same time as when we always say that we'd like to see more people of color, but it comes from the place of, because there aren't any people of color doing things, or when they are given these opportunities, they're not giving anything as rich as Michael K. Williams' roles. Like, they're so, like, I mean, a gay drug lord? Come the on, are you kidding?
I know, right?
What? Walking into that class, that first day of the table read, and you don't even know that, because that didn't come out until way later in the series,
no,
right?
Right. Where you were into the series, and then because you were really following Omar, because Omar was as badass as you wanted to be, and
right.
Then you go, wait a minute, did he just kiss that man?
Uh-huh.
I know.
And there you go. I mean, and so, and that's an image that, of course, you know, you don't expect Anderson Cooper to be talking about.
Yeah.
You won't ask Andy Cohen. They may secretly love it, but they ain't going to be talking about it on none of their venues, trust. And certainly not for, and not to come for them, because, you know, they know what their audience is.
They do.
So that's, but, you know, I know that within our audience, no matter on both sides of my world, as comedians, as a podcaster, there are people that would love to just see something different. See something
new. They really
would. New.
Which is why we appreciate what Joe Lansdale gave us with Happen Leonard.
I love it.
So we want you folks, give it a chance. It's on Sundance TV. Look up where you can see the past seasons. And thank you, Mr. Lansdale, Mr. Purefoy, and Michael Kenneth Williams. Mm. Love it, love it, love it.
I want to say, Michael K. Williams, you better work, girl, because he's... I don't know what his story is, but
we don't know if he's straight, gay, bisexual,
don't
or
care.
Whatever.
Do
it
not
don't
care.
Matter because we just enjoy his acting.
I love that he puts everything in, like, the context of these, like, these are some complex gay characters that folks are not ready for, and I love that. So
really?
thank you, Mr. Williams.
Thank you.
Come to our show. Come talk to us. Shit.
Yes, come on. We need to talk to you.
I now, love
can,
it
about. The big news, it's still in the news. Can you believe how many more women have come out against Harvey Weinstein?
Oh, my God. Oh,
you
my
know,
God.
I mean,
it's like
he's like the McDonald's of sex abusers. He needs to wear a T-shirt that says over 1 billion served.
Yeah. You want fame? Well, fame costs. And right here is where you have to stop paying.
I am so glad these women are speaking out. I am so glad that this story has erupted the way it has. And, you know, you and I have talked about this before. And that toxic masculinity that he was exercising and just, oh God, I guess we better say alleged so we don't get in legal trouble.
True, exactly.
All these alleged allegations of sexual impropriety, which, it, you know, it's the part that really gets me is every new woman who comes out with a story about him has almost the same exact story.
I know. That's what's so gross. It's like, you know, again, allegedly, these women have had all of these strange encounters with this man. And the fact that now everybody is talking is a good thing, because at least now we're having this conversation. But it was something that I heard the other day, that they finally got Oprah on record. And Oprah was saying that, you know, we can't allow that, you know, if we leave it just short of saying it's just Harvey Weinstein, then we're missing the opportunity to have the bigger conversations, which is just should be happening anywhere. No,
it should not be happening.
No woman should have to be going to work afraid of that kind of treatment, be it a
afraid
show.
Afraid or in a position of being humiliated like that.
Exactly.
There was, and I'm pretty sure she told this on The View, so I'm not telling a secret. When, you know, for black women to get good scripts, it's not that easy. So there was a period where a lot of my white friends would say, well, what? God, Whoopi was so good in The Color Purple. Why is she doing this script? Why is she doing that script? And I went, you know what? She's not getting the same number of scripts as Michelle Pfeiffer does.
Nope.
She's not getting the same amount of scripts as Glenn Close does.
Nope.
And she's got to pay the bills. So she would get a script that had some other actress's fingerprints on it. So I think I think it was Fatal Beauty. It was a script that Cher had turned down.
Ugh.
And Whoopi went to meet with the director.
Mm-hmm.
Who at the table, at the meeting with other people in the room, said to her point blank, I don't think you're sexually attractive. And let me tell you, I cleaned that up, because he used one word.
Oof.
I cleaned that up.
Oof.
But to say that
to someone's
with
face,
other people, right.
That's fierce. That's right. Very fierce. And I mean, you know, and again, the movie wasn't that great either, which is why, you know, it's kind of a drag. And then, of course, I remember all the controversy about Sam Elliott and her having the on-screen kiss.
Right,
and
right.
That was what, we were in the 80s then, weren't
and
we?
Sam was in the room, and he was livid.
Wow.
Livid about that.
Wow.
And he was the one who stood up and said, oh, you know what? I find her attractive. And he was like, oh, I'm kissing her in the movie.
Yeah. I mean, it's atrocious, the things that you absolutely hear come out of other human beings' mouths when it's talking to another human being, or the behavior that they wind up exhibiting to express some sort of weird power. And I'm sorry, but, you know, Mr. Weinstein has spent part of his time blaming the fact that he grew up in the 60s and 70s as part of the rationale for his alleged behavior. And it's like, you know what, dude? Yeah, that was the 60s and 70s, and it wasn't right then. So for you to be walking through the world now thinking that it's okay now, this is why it's biting you on the ass.
And, that's right.
And every one of these women, if they can all collectively get together and do something, I'm all about them knocking it out. But, like, I hope that this sends the message, though, to all of these other people, that it's like, as my friend used to say, she goes, like, once one of them comes out like this, in this kind of way, then it's all the other ones you got to be watching. Because those are the ones that are trying to, like, you know, either dogpile on him and make him take the brunt of it all, or start hiding the stuff that they're doing, too. And even now, like the James Tobacks of the world.
Right. Oh, Lord.
Like, no. No, 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 no. You know, how are you managing to continue this career and people have not yet checked you? And so...
And that was another one. When that story first broke, and I saw it on Twitter, and one of the first people who got on Twitter said, it's about time that piece of blank, blank, blank mm-hmm. was exposed. Who was that from? Anthony Bourdain, the guy that goes around the world eating. And I went,
wow.
Oh, so he knew about this? Guys knew about this.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But everybody turned a kind of a blind eye because it wasn't actually them. And, you know, it's the way it is all the time in those kinds of scenarios. It's like the people, there have to be a whole pack of complicit people that they could be bringing up on charges of, what's that, you know, when you remember the depraved indifference? That's it.
Right.
Where you know, you're standing in the room and you watch him say that thing or do that thing, or maybe, you know that he attacked that person and didn't, you know, you turned around and like, oh, I didn't see anything or I didn't know
right,
anything.
Right, right.
It's okay, like you're just as bad as the rest of them. So,
and we've talked about this before. I think that to me, there is a link from this type of toxic masculinity, the type of things that Toback and Weinstein did.
Yeah. Allegedly.
From that, allegedly, to the lack of women directors getting A-list Hollywood projects
mm-hmm.
to the problems we people of color have had in areas of diversity and inclusion, just getting representation and work in Hollywood. It's all linked.
And that's, because, and that's when you're talking about in front of and behind the camera.
Yes. When I've experienced what I felt is discrimination, and I kept it inside, I went, well, okay, there are two things. People said, well, you know, if you talk about it, you'll never work again.
Exactly.
And so you keep, right. You keep quiet about it. And then I'll give you a quick example, people, for your listening. If you go to YouTube and look at my demo reel of my talk show on VH1, I never was offered another chance to do a talk show. All of the white guys who had talk shows, they got a second talk show. And I went, okay, because that's the way it was.
Right.
And I'm not trying to sound like I'm highfalutin and it's all about me, but I think, you know, there was just no equal opportunity, and I was good at my work. I had the A-list people that you would see with like a Dick Cavett or David Letterman or Merv Griffin or Charlie Rose. Mm-hmm. But then after that, it was, well, do you have experience? Can you do a film review? I had to put up with all of this stuff that the white guys didn't. And when I talked to other people of color in the business, you know, mm-hmm. they were going through the same thing.
Yep.
And we're all said, well, I can't talk about it. If I talk about it, I'll never work again. And it was not just black people. It was Latino people mm-hmm. and Asian people.
Everybody.
And then the connection to the women is like, well, if I mentioned that I was harassed and abused, I'm just starting out. I may never get any work. I may never work again.
Yep.
So.
Well, it's unfortunate that we are having this conversation now in 2017, but I'm also glad that we have had this opportunity to have people be so open about what's going on, because now it's not something folks can get away with hiding anymore. So I guess more watershedding is going to have to happen, but man, it's like, where are the corporate women that are now, like, this is their time to speak up. You know what I mean? Like, this is,
yes, it is.
This is the time to go after Morgan Stanley or, you know, any of the, you know what I'm saying? Like, this is the window. It's like, I really wish though, that when the Bill Cosby thing had happened, I wish that, you know, the Weinstein thing would have happened at the same time. And I would, because I think that then it would have been able to have had a clearer conversation of the actual behavior versus it becoming about a culture. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's this black man, you know, working his power over white women, you know, or allegedly, or or this big, gross, you know, overweight mogul who not only has married twice, but married a model the second time around, and still walking around treating the women that he allegedly treated the way that they were treated.
Right.
So,
like we've said, you know, just hanging out, what is Harvey's relationship like with his mother?
Exactly. And his aunt and his grandmother or something. Because if you have a semi-decent relationship with either of them or any of those women in your immediate life, you tend not to be that way.
Exactly.
I would think. But I mean, you know, again, maybe the mom and them wasn't good to him. You know what I'm saying? Like, all of those things.
I want to know, was there some drama there where, like, you know, Harvey wanted to see mama, you know, in the fruit cellar like Mrs. Bates? I don't know. You know, just allegedly.
Allegedly. But we don't know nothing. Don't come for us.
We don't know nothing.
We just standing on the side, like, speculating like everybody else.
Just for real.
Like I said, though, I mean, for him, this is a terrible thing because, you know, it's the conversation that it's generated and it's the filth and the ugliness that it's exposing. But then this is filth and ugliness, like you said once before to me a long time ago about how, you know, Lucille Ball talked about doing that, having to deal with all of that stuff in the 30s and 40s.
But there was an actress who was a big star at 20th Century Fox in the 1930s and 40s. Wonderful singer named Alice Faye.
Yes.
And when I was new to New York, I got to interview her. And for 15 minutes, she and I were just hanging out in an office, just having a kiki. Because she realized I knew her old songs and we are singing in the office.
I love that.
She said, do you know this one? And I'd sing back to her. And I said to her, okay, did the studio head keep hitting on her? And I'll never forget this. She said, oh, son, I had one prayer and one prayer only while I was at 20th Century Fox. Dear Lord, let me live long enough to see him die first. Alice Faye!
Let me live long enough to see that bastard die first. Ooh. Okay. Okay.
That's how she felt about Zanuck.
Wow.
In the studio.
Wow.
Really?
But that's, you know what? And that was then. So
and that was then.
Honey, I'm sure Gwyneth Paltrow and Ashley Judd and all of them got a lot to say about Harvey Weinstein. Ashley Judd was saying it. I saw her. She's had the interview with Diane Sawyer.
Diane Sawyer.
And I just saw the clip of it, and I was just like, ooh, girl.
Girl, she told it all and left it up to Jesus.
And, well, you know, and she said that one thing that was, I tried to tell people about him. I told the agents, I told her this, and they were like, oh, well, that's just Harvey. And again, that's what I'm saying. So that permissiveness that this whole industry has allowed to happen, because it's like, you know, it's the one place you can put people like him and they can seem to thrive and make money at the same time.
Right.
I think that's the only reason why he, and like I said, that's the only reason why I feel like that we're all hearing about Harvey Weinstein now, is because that company is now having a lot of financial issues because they're not necessarily making a lot of money. And so, like, you know, one of the things you have to do when you're like trying to redo your business is you start cutting away the loss and the fat.
Yes.
So,
ain't it the truth?
So they served him up a roast. They rump roasted him. He
and
has been rump roasted, honey.
Ooh.
Ooh, Harvey.
You said rump roast. Now I'm hungry. All right, let's take a break. Let's go grab a bite. Tell the folks who they can find you on Twitter.
They can find me at KP Curtain Call or at Comedy Daddy, as well as Keith Pressler's Curtain Call on iTunes, Google Play Music, Stitcher, Mixcloud, SoundCloud, and featured podcast on BroadwayWorld.com.
Excellent. And I'm on Twitter at Bobby Rivers TV. You can find me Bobby Rivers TV on Facebook, and we have a Mocha page on Facebook too.
Exactly.
We sure do. We sure do.
Wait before you go though. Don't forget, we have mochawithbobbyrivers@gmail.com for anybody that has any questions or concerns of anything. That's mocha, M-O-C-H-A-A, with bobbyrivers@gmail.com. Just, I thought we'd
Thank
throw
you.
That out there.
And remember, just remember that it's a letter for man of a certain hue and age. Mocha that way. Talk at you later, folks.
Mocha. Go.